But some will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? Many questions arise when one begins to think about the resurrection of the body. What about those who have been cremated? What about those who have been eaten by sharks? What about those infants who die in infancy? When they are resurrected, will they receive infant bodies? What about those who are the deformed? Will they receive new bodies, improved bodies, different bodies? We continue our study in 1 Corinthians as we have a look at that great resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. You will remember that in verses 1 through 19, the Apostle Paul gave the alternatives to no resurrection. Namely, that if there is not a resurrection, you are yet in your sin and Christ has never been raised from the dead. And then last Lord's Day evening, we had a look at verses 20 through 34 regarding the consequences of the resurrection of Christ. And tonight we're going to begin to look at the nature of the resurrection body. In verses 35 through 49, and we'll have to spend a couple of three evenings on that particular subject, and then following that we'll cover verses 50 through 58, which give the purpose of the resurrection body. This evening we look at the method of the resurrection. That is Paul's answer to the question which is raised in verse 35, the first part. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? So Paul gives an answer which is speaking to the method of the resurrected body. And then secondly, we're going to begin to look at the nature of the resurrected body itself as Paul answers the latter part of verse 35 when the question is asked, and with what kind of body do they come? Consider with me first the method of the bodily resurrection. Obviously, there was a problem at Corinth. We have already noted that it was a church characteristic of problems, and I confess to you, I have never seen a church in our day which even approached the dimensions of the problems which the Corinthian Christians had. That ought to be encouraging to you and me. But there were problems in the Corinthian church. And one problem was, some evidently said mockingly that the resurrection was impossible. How are the dead raised? Paul gives an answer in verse 36. You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. He calls them fools. That is not the way to win friends or influence people. It is Paul's very untactful, blunt way of saying that a person's argument is not worth a hill of beans. You fool! Martin Luther, I am reminded of by these words, because Martin Luther himself was such a straightforward person that he might not be welcome in some of our more sophisticated societies, because he was always a person who dealt straightforwardly with people, as he did with some of the reformers and those who disagreed with him. Paul doesn't take it lightly when these people in Corinth approach this heresy, and he says of their argument, and he says about them, "You fool!" And then he does add some content, though, along with the heat and the emotional verba with which he is speaking, when he says in 36b, "That which you sow does not come to life unless it dies." And what Paul is saying essentially is, Corinthian Christians, aren't you able to look out at nature, and you can observe the principle of resurrection life every day? Look around you, and you see it everywhere. He means, namely, in plant life, the principle of the resurrection from the dead. One commentator said on this verse, named Voss, quote, "Death, so far from being an obstacle to life, is its prerequisite. One must die if one is to truly live." Now, quite frankly, that is about all the Apostle Paul has to say about the method of the resurrection body. He simply makes the observation that it's just like a plant dying, a seed dying, and the plant being raised from the dead. That's how it's going to happen. We could talk about other means, as that the bodies of those who are living will be changed, that the spirit will be reunited with the body, and the body in the grave will be raised. But as far as Paul's argument is concerned at this particular point, he simply says, look around you, Corinthians, and you will see the method of the resurrection all about. And then he goes on to answer the question raised in verse 35b, which is a question regarding the nature of the resurrected body. And with what kind of body do they come? If the first question that Paul was asked in verse 35a, how are the dead raised, was an indication of the impossibility of the resurrection, then the second question and its answer in verse 35b is an indication of the improbability of the resurrection. Paul describes the characteristics of the resurrected body beginning in this text and going all the way through verse 49. He does so with two main broad analogies. He first uses an analogy from nature, beginning with verse 36 and going all the way to verse 44, the first part of verse 44. And then beginning with the end of verse 44, going through verse 49, he uses an analogy from Scripture. He uses an analogy from nature to talk about the nature of the resurrection. And then he uses an analogy from Scripture. The first analogy that he uses, which is from nature, has a lot of other analogies within it. He is talking about the seed dying and then coming back to life. And then he also says in verse 39, he uses an analogy about flesh, that there are different types of flesh. And then he uses an analogy in verse 40 about heavenly bodies and earthly bodies and how they are different. And then in verse 41, he goes on to talk about the glory of the sun and the glory of the moon and how stars differ in their glory. So contrary to good English usage, Paul intermingles and mixes up his analogies into one, but he subsumes them, as it were, under the general analogy from nature. Now, maybe we ought to say a word about Paul's approach. When he talks about the resurrected body, I mean the fact that he speaks of the resurrected body only in analogies. That should indicate to us that here is a subject that you and I cannot fully yet grasp. It is as clothed with mystery as our Lord's body was still mysterious to his disciples. They recognized him, but they didn't. They could touch him, and yet he moved through walls. He could appear and disappear. He could eat fish and digest it, seemingly. It was a mysterious body. It was a resurrected body. So your body will be a resurrected body, but the only way to speak about it, because one does not have absolute knowledge, is by analogy. The Bible also says that one day we shall know even as we are known. We can't know everything in this life. But you may be sure that there is not a problem that you have, and that there is not a doctrine that you need to believe, but that it is revealed in this book right here. Everything God has revealed and everything that you need to know in your life is communicated through this book, so that you can deal with every situation that you face in life. And here, Paul says, here is enough knowledge for you, and that is this. We have the fact of our Lord's resurrected body, and we can look at that and draw some conclusions. But if you want to think about the nature of the resurrected body, then think of it by analogy, because it is yet a mystery. It is yet clothed in that knowledge which has not yet been revealed to man.
The secret things.
Belong to the Lord our God.
But the things which have been revealed belong unto us
and to our children.
Sir, tonight I want to relate to the main characteristics of the resurrected body from the analogy he is using. You see how his method is, he is using several analogies to talk about the resurrected body. And now we are going to draw analogies forward, characteristics of the resurrected body. Tonight, I have time for one, and it is this. It is drawn from verses 36 through 38. The resurrection body will be organically related to the natural body. That's very important.
Now, in a way, that is a misnomer. An unfortunate use of language when we say this is the natural body and our next body will be unnatural. It will be not a natural body for heaven, unnatural body for heaven. It will be the natural body in heaven. But Paul's first point is that, look at the analogy of the seed and the plant in verse 37. He says, in that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat, or of something else. It is said that the body changes its molecular structure every 7 years. So that if you are or were a Yankee and you have been living here for 7 years, you are now true gray. The body itself undergoes change, its structure undergoes change, although we keep the same form. It is like a seed. I wish I had an acorn. I should have brought one, particularly one that dropped down out of the sky at our last camping trip up in DeSoto. We were sitting at the picnic table, and Alice was sitting over here by me. We were eating. It was dark by then, so we had the candle going. Acorns were just falling. One would have thought that it was raining acorns. And all of a sudden, one came down and hit Alice right square on top of the head. And she just sat there for a minute. She looked at me like I had hit her on the head. She looked at me and then started crying. But then she took, gathered up all of her acorns and took them to her kindergarten class and told them they had been studying Henny Penny and Chicken Licking and all those folks about the sky is falling. Paul's point is about an acorn, as it were, a seed. And this body that you and I possess now is like an acorn. And we bury it. And then when that acorn dies, it becomes what it was intended to be. There is a poem entitled Reflections of the Resurrection Body. It's only two stanzas, and it's about two acorns talking to one another. Said one acorn to another, "It's a pity, my dear brother, that we can't remain in this fine dress of lovely form, an acorn nest." Said the acorn to his brother, "Such a dress is not forever, for acorn nest is but the yolk of something better called an oak." We may look around us and we may cherish what we are and our associates and our lives and hang tenaciously on to every fiber of life, and that we should. But friends, one day we will become what God intended us to be. When we become those people taking our resurrected bodies, glorified in heaven with Him. C.S. Lewis was right when he said that earth is the shadow land, that heaven is the reality. There are other texts which talk about this same theme. I mean that the resurrection body will be organically related to the natural body. There is the text which says, "All graves shall hear." That is, people who are in the graves, who have been buried there, who have turned to dust, those very people, that body will be raised from the dead. Job said, "In my flesh I shall see God." And Jesus himself demonstrated that it was he himself in the flesh to his disciples. "Touch me, Thomas. Put your finger in my wound." He sat down and ate fish on the beach with his disciples. It was really he. There is a logical argument too that I ought to bring out, and is this: if the resurrected body is not organically related to the natural body, it is sheer nonsense to talk about the resurrection of the body. It is sheer nonsense. It is unthinkable to talk about the resurrection if indeed this flesh is not raised up from the dead. The whole point is that which has been under the control and condemnation of the devil during this earthly life and during this realm of Satan's control, that this body which must undergo the degradation of death and decay, this flesh somehow will bear a relationship to the resurrection body, so that it will still be Langston Haygood that is raised from the dead. Paul said finally in verse 26 in this chapter, the last enemy that will be abolished is death. You see, God's reputation is at stake with your body right now. If your body stays in the grave and it is not regenerated, then it means that Satan and sin and death still have hold sway over you in some way. And so God, at the last day, to make his victory complete and your victory complete, will take that dust, that cremated person, that individual, however he died, however his members have been separated. And God, in the miracle of the resurrection, will bring that flesh so that it will be organically related to this and that spirit, and you will be complete in him. And then you can sing, thanks be to God who gives to us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May God burn that hope within us tonight, that we may live day by day in the light of his glorious return and of the right use of our bodies in this life. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this text of Scripture and this message regarding the resurrected body from the Apostle Paul. We do pray that you would take our bodies, that they may be dedicated to you. Give to us a consciousness that we are intended for something grander and more glorious than that use to which we often put our own flesh. Remind us that we are eternal beings and that we must be fit for eternity. We do thank you for the assurance from your word that our bodies will one day, which will bear an organic relation to our present bodies, that those bodies will be resurrected and that we will spend an eternity with you. We look forward to that time, Father. And we do pray that you would hasten the day when we are reunited with loved ones, with friends, and when the name of Jesus Christ will be exalted in the earth, and we will look upon him face to face. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.